Hi, I am Pastor Joel of Heart City Church, and thank you for joining us for Happy and Whole in Him. I think one of the biggest lies I've ever heard was one I learned as a child. There's a little rhyme that went like this. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. The fact is, some words do far more permanent damage than any stick or stone ever could. And that is what the Apostle James has been teaching us. James writes in chapter 3, verses 7 to 9, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God." Yesterday we saw how our tongues can destroy us, staining our bodies and setting our whole life course on fire. Well, today James reveals how our tongues hurt others, often embittering folks and leaving a trail of broken relationships. James describes the tongue as a restless evil. Do you know folks like this? Their tongues are always wagging, always seeking to criticize others, looking to stir the pot so they can get folks speaking ill of others, even fighting. Did you notice James also says our tongue is full of deadly poison? Our words can cause irreparable damage. So many people are so concerned about their opinions being lifted up, about their being right, that they are rendered entirely incapable of loving others. Loose lips do sink ships. As the moment they release the tongue, it fires off torpedoes. Torpedoes that can sadly send already sinking souls into the depths, never to rise again. Notice James has a specific concern for Christian believers. He essentially says, "How dare you walk into church and use your tongue one moment to sing, praise, and bless God, and then the next moment you're using that same tongue to curse people made in God's likeness? Do you realize that every person, no matter how evil they may be in your eyes, bears the image of God? Our first impulse ought to be to look at the ways in which their lives reveal the God we love." And you may be thinking, "Pastor Joel, I'm sorry, some folks are just too bad off." I encourage you to read Daniel's words to King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 2, verses 37 and 38. There you'll hear Daniel praise a pagan king who destroyed his city, flattened his temple, killed many of his people, and hauled Daniel and many of his fellow men off as slaves. Yet Daniel praises this pagan ruler for God's sake, which, by the way, later earns him the ability to counsel this same king to repent of his evil in chapter 4. A question we need to ask when we disagree with someone is, am I being compassionate? Or maybe we need to ask, am I seeking their well-being? Am I seeking their conversion to Christ? Or am I seeking victory? My friend, I also think James might be reminding us of Genesis 1:26, when God spoke mankind into being. God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." Do you see the power of the words of our Creator? God's words bring life. Do you see that we, who are made in God's image, also have the power, in a lesser way of course, to bring life and healing with our tongues? Yet sadly, friend, don't we often use our words to tear down? I remember once, in a moment of anger, I loosened my lips and I spoke words to a loved one. They were like arrows that hit the mark, and I immediately regretted it. Perhaps you've done the same. Well, you need to seek forgiveness for those words and turn to God. My friend, each and every evil word that you have spoken against God or those made in His image gives sufficient reason for Him to curse you to hell for all of eternity. But the good news is that God sent a Savior who was silent before His accusers. Our Lord Jesus did not open His mouth, because of all the evil that has come out of ours. And Jesus took upon himself the wrath and curse for our tongues, so that we might no longer live to curse and destroy with our tongues, but that we might be able to praise him for all eternity. So I encourage you to use your tongue to thank God for the cross of Christ, and then use that same tongue to praise your unbelieving neighbor for God's sake. As Sam Crabtree says, praise the image of God in them, because our failure to praise them may even unwittingly abandon them on their hell-bent path, even propel them on an accelerated descending trajectory, having alienated them from the very ones who possess the truth so crucial for them to hear. My friend, remember who you are and who you belong to.